I'll just wait for the recording. Excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. We really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join us for today's discussion. Now, Voices for Innovation is an organization or an opportunity that will provide your company with a unique opportunity so that you can expand your Microsoft partnership. Through VFI, you're going to have an additional channel to influence our legislators and drive changes that are impacting technology today. So leading today's call is Jonathan Freebert. He's our Director of Microsoft External Affairs. Jonathan is an experienced public affairs executive here at Microsoft. He has 20 years of this type of experience with Fortune 500 companies. He's worked in the area of politics, nonprofit, and government organizations, so he's well-versed. I want to encourage each of you to feel free to ask questions along the way. This is your opportunity to have good dialogue with him and ask him for clarification in regards to what sort of roles or asks we have of your partners and how you can help impact the legislative changes there. Jonathan's full role here at Microsoft helps them engage with partners and organizations just like yours. So I really do feel like VFI is a great opportunity for your organization. And Jonathan, thanks again to you for taking time out of your day to meet with us.
Thank you, Regina. And again, thank you, everyone, for participating on this call today. So I'm going to have a slightly different conversation with you all today, deviating from my normal VFI pitch, because I think, you know, we're entering this period of both transformation and uncertainty. So I think during this time, we're going to need the participation of everyone who cares about how technology and innovation can help improve society through advancing healthcare and education, through improving communications, growing the economy, and really, you know, helping lift millions of people out of poverty and into the middle class. So as I think about this, what we really need now is more than ever is voices for innovation. So I'm sure many of you have seen this slide or know, you know, seen our mission statement, but I think it's worth kind of discussing it again. So, you know, together, and Satya talks about this a lot, we're entering this period of profound transformation where data is now the currency in our cloud-first, mobile-first world. And Satya has noted that this data is being created by ubiquitous computing to reinvent productivity and empower every person and organization on the planet to do more and achieve more. And I think one of the biggest investments that we've made, Microsoft has made under Satya, is around our commitment to drive innovation faster, since the pace of technology is moving faster than ever, bringing new opportunities and business models to partners and to customers. So when I was putting together this presentation, at Microsoft, we have something called Microsoft Brand Central, where it helps us create these presentations and have some technology images as a backdrop. And I think, you know, many who are in technology will use similar pictures when talking about sort of where technology is going with customers, with partners. So, you know, these images, I think, help visualize what Microsoft and many others are thinking of when talking about how empowered people can use technology to improve their businesses and their lives. But there's another kind of empowerment I think that's happening as well. It encompasses people who feel left behind or left out. And I think some of those are captured with these images here. So for all the images and for all the discussion that we're having around technology and innovation, you know, there are these feelings and sentiments that are also out there. And I think, you know, it's worth noting these bottom two pictures here are from Ohio, where manufacturing doesn't really reflect some of the reality in our images. In some cases, that hollowed out image of abandoned factories is more of the reality. So as we think about software, data, the cloud, these are all changing the world, but there are empowered perspectives in our nation that could oppose this vision and progress we're talking about because they don't feel like they're a part of it. So it got me thinking about empowerment. And I wanted to spend just a few minutes talking about this image on the left here. The image on the left is from the Luddite uprising just over 200 years ago. And this occurred in Britain when working families were enduring economic upheaval and widespread unemployment at the dawn of the First Industrial Revolution. Food was scarce and was rapidly becoming more costly. A segment of people in textile manufacturing centers rose up to demand more work and better wages. So these were empowered, angry workers, and they smashed textile machinery. The attacks occurred nightly at first, then sporadically, and then in waves, eventually spreading across about a 70-mile area in northern England. So, fearing a national movement, the government soon positioned thousands of soldiers to defend factories. So, again, as this first industrial revolution began, many workers were naturally worried about being displaced by increasingly efficient machines. But according to historians, as I've done some reading about this time period, the Luddites themselves were actually fine with machines. They were actually fine with technology and innovation. But they confined their attacks to manufacturers who used machines in what they called a fraudulent and deceitful manner to get around standard labor practices. The Luddites just wanted machines that made high-quality goods, and they wanted these machines to be run by workers who had gone through some apprenticeship and training, and they wanted to get paid decent wages. Those were really their main concerns. So this Luddite uprising came at a time when the world was about to undergo this massive transformation. And the lights came to symbolize the defenders of the pre-technological way of life. So fast forward to now, when many are saying we're on the cusp of the fourth industrial revolution, one that will feature AI, more automation, and the Internet of Things. It will again change everything. One might argue that the modern-day Luddites are starting to push back against this change. I think what comes next depends on many factors. Many are really unknown right now. But something I think that we all know is that one key factor that's going to shape this new world is government. So I think that is why we, as technology leaders, need to be in a dialogue with decision makers. If we aren't, then rules, regulations will be placed upon us that will hinder our industry, our customers, and I think our nation. So I wanted to provide just two quick examples of what I'm talking about here. The first, it has to do with modernizing outdated laws, and the second has to do with STEM education. So, first, modernizing outdated laws. So this is what the world looked like the last time our electronic communications privacy laws were updated in this country. So the current legislation that governs when people's data must be kept private and when and how law enforcement gets it was written in 1986, when the first laptop was introduced and car phones were just catching on. And importantly, I think, the World Wide Web was still 3 years away from being invented. So when Congress passed this current legislation, there's no way it was considering the global cloud or the world we live in today. So the fact that laws have not been updated has impacted trust. I think many of you are considered trusted technology providers for your customers. I think, as you know, and as I've heard from partners, customers will only use technology and benefit from it if they can trust it. So with these cloud services now, we are asking our customers to trust us even more than they have in the past. We're not just supplying them with software programs as tools, we've also become stewards of their most important information assets. Customer data is theirs, not ours, and we hold it with their trust. I think it takes years to build up trust, but it only takes suspicion, not proof, to destroy it. So over the past few years, the cornerstone of trust has been shaken because laws have not kept up with technology. I think that affects us as technology providers, as technology leaders, but also society and the economy and law enforcement. So I think we collectively have a common interest to build trust through having a dialogue with elected officials about why and how outdated laws are impacting us. I think another aspect is, as we enter this data and cloud-centric economy, we not only need to update outdated laws, but we also need to require further transformation. I think education is one area. There's a need not only for digital literacy, but for a skilled workforce to meet new challenges and demands. So recall that image earlier that showed the gap that some people are feeling in this country between open jobs and the skills that they have. And now look at these two facts in front of you. I think this skills gap is not only impacting tech, but other industries. As I've had conversations with partners there, they tell me our customers are having a hard time finding people to hire. So we made some progress on this. For example, a few years ago, Microsoft, VFI, other companies and organizations focused on getting computer science to count towards high school graduation in all 50 states. And over the years, we have really concentrated on educating and advocating to elected officials in states about passing legislation that would count computer science. And I think this has been a great start, but we're not there yet, and I think there's another step that we have to take. We have to instill computer science into curriculums. So currently, only 7 of these states have created K through 12 computer science standards. And I think additionally, we need to get funding for training teachers and building infrastructure so that everyone has access. And I think more needs to be done. So now I want to share with you a little secret. There are not many people that advocate for politics and policies that they support. Here's some data I wanted to show you, and this is from the congressional level. At the state level, it's even fewer people that engage with their elected officials. So there is a counter to this, however. Every time we as technology leaders are not voicing what we believe in, and others are, elected officials are hearing their concerns over ours. Their agendas get attention, not ours. So there's an old adage in my profession, and that is if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I think in this turbulent world we are in today, we as technology leaders must be there in consistent dialogue with elected officials. And I don't think this is just about legislation. I think it's really broader than that. In my view, it's about talking about how the cloud, data, and other innovations are helping drive societal and economic benefits for everyone, and how you, as Microsoft partners, are doing that at the local level. It's really as simple as explaining to elected officials what your company does, because many do not know or understand this change that's happening. So we have, turbulence, disruption. We've had unpredictable results in elections, like what happened in Brexit and what happened recently with the US elections. And I think we, in Microsoft Government Affairs have been giving this a lot of thought over the past several months. I know me personally, I've been challenging some previous assumptions I once held. And I've thought about our Microsoft mission statement and what it means for the work that I do with the many partners and supporters of VFI. Empower every person and organization to achieve more. In my view, part of that empowerment is what we do on the technology side. It's what you guys are doing every day. But perhaps more importantly, I think it is what we do on the public policy side to ensure that we have an environment to grow our businesses, find new customers, hire people, and move the country forward. And that, in essence, is what the VFI program is about. It's about bringing 90,000 people together, partners, customers, consumers, citizens, Republicans, Democrats, independents, and empowering you to have a dialogue with elected officials and decision makers. For our Microsoft partners, I think it's also about providing you content and resources so that you can become a better trusted advisor to your customers as well as to your elected officials. And this is really what VFI is about. It's made up of people like you. Many have not been involved in the political advocacy process before. All are leaders who care deeply, though, about the difference technology makes in people's lives. So VFI provides you this opportunity to get involved, as much or as little as you want to. But that said, together we're only as strong and effective as the people who participate in our community. So I encourage you to visit our website and read the stories of people like David Gersten, Veronica Place, and Stephanie Cracknell. A little over a year ago, they met with their members of Congress for the first time and made a difference. They also, I think importantly, shared this impact with their colleagues and their customers about how they made a difference. I think there are also the stories of Lori Carey from We Connect the Dots and Ryan Riesley and Frank Valdivesio, who created and hosted a training session for Latino youth. They too are driving local change through civic engagement and helping legislators understand why this matters. So my ask today is, I would love for you to join with us and participate. We really need you now more than ever. So I wanted to thank you and close with a simple ask. Please visit our website, sign up. And if you're really feeling empowered, which I hope you are, take your first action and write your elected officials. We have digital tools on our website that make this very easy for you. And it'll take less than 2 minutes of your time. So I really look forward to working with all of you, and I'd be open to having a discussion or take any questions from you. So thank you very much for your time. And if there are any questions, I would, or if you want to type anything in, that'd be great.
You know, thanks, Jonathan, for presenting that information in detail. Maybe it's also helpful if you can explain to folks about some of the activities that partners were engaged in or have been engaged in the past.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I would say there's generally kind of three aspects to VFI or what we try to do on a regular basis. So the first thing is we try to have a series of webinars about different aspects of things that are happening, whether they're policy webinars, sometimes we'll do a business-oriented webinar as well, but we want to provide information to you. We'll do that about 6 to 8 times per year. I think the second thing that we try to do, as I mentioned, is to make it very easy for you to engage with your elected officials, providing you resources, digital tools for those that want to engage that way, or if you want to engage at a deeper level. We have resources through my team as well as my broader government affairs team that we can bring and help you with. And I would say thirdly, we also want to keep you informed, again, so you can become, you know, and be, I should say, trusted advisors, either it's your customers to elected officials. So once a week, I put out something called an executive briefing, which summarizes some of the articles from the previous week, talking about some of these technology issues, policy issues, kind of what's happening in Congress, that kind of thing. So it's available on our website, but it's also available. I send it off on email, and I'd welcome anybody who would be interested in receiving that. I'm happy to add you to our DL.
So partners can just ping you back or let you know that they want to be added then to that. Now, you know, privacy is a huge issue. Everybody that seems to be, you mentioned this earlier in the webcast and whatnot. So can you kind of summarize for the partners the type of project work or activities that you're doing in this particular area, if you can drill into a little more specifics and how the other partners or folks within VFI have helped to drive
sure.
impact?
Sure. So there were a few bills in Congress last session, so previous 2 years. So the bill that I was referencing is called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA. That has not been updated since 1986. That has to do with electronic communications within the U.S., and it has laws and rules that govern law enforcement and how they can get at that information if they need to through the course of a criminal investigation. But one of the main shortcomings of that bill is that it dealt with domestic. It didn't see this, you know, and realize and visualize this world that we're in now where data can go cross-border, that sort of thing. So there's ECPA that's being reformed, and then there's a new bill that was introduced as well called ICPA, International Communications Privacy Act, that dealt with some of the international border issues and where data gets stored, some of those issues. So, you know, the example that I talked about of David and Veronica and Stephanie going to the Hill to talk about these concerns, it was around that legislation, the ICPA bill. And so, you know, one of the results of that engagement was that David met with his elected official, his member of Congress, who was not aware of this legislation. And that isn't surprising because many legislators have, you know, thousands of bills that get thrown at them that they need to track. And so David was able to talk to his elected official, talk about why this legislation is important, and eventually got his member of Congress to support the bill and sign on to it, become a sponsor of the bill. And I think that was really, really critical. And so, again, you know, it's people like, you know, David and other partners who have these businesses within districts that legislators are going to listen to more. So that's really what we're trying to drive towards with VFI.
Yeah, no, very interesting. Hey, John, you said you had a couple of comments you wanted to make there, too. Pardon.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me, Regina?
Yeah, sure. John Niccolo from Zealand Partners.
Hello, John.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to pass along an anecdote that I think folks can hopefully appreciate. I'm currently the president of the IMCP chapter here in Chicagoland, and about a year and a half ago, one of our members came up with this concept, an idea to have a meeting and try, because it was an election year last year, try and get a local public official engaged for one of our IMCP meetings. So when he floated that idea, I reached out to the Central Region president for all the IMCP chapters, and that individual referred me to Jonathan to get engaged to see if he might be able to lend a hand in this event we wanted to try and have. And I, you know, I'm not saying this, Jonathan, because we know each other now, and no one paid me to say this, but we took this little small idea of getting an elected official to participate in one of our monthly meetings, and it morphed into a pretty sizable event, which was entitled The Future of Data. And we ended up getting two U.S. congressmen, the CIO of the city of Chicago, the CIO of the state of Illinois, and a host of other IT professionals and well-respected folks in the Illinois area to conduct opening and closing sessions. There were several panel discussions that lasted for the bulk of the morning, and on a very rainy June day in Chicago, we had over 100 people attend this event, and I'm still getting positive feedback from our members and other folks that attended. So I can speak to the power of VFI Now you only get, you know, givers get, so you have to get engaged. So by now participating, being on the mailing list, and being a part of the team, I'm able to share with our members and other partners around the Chicagoland and Illinois territories what's going on in Washington, and as well as what's going on in Springfield, our state capital. So if you're hesitant, I'll tell you, it doesn't take a lot of time. The newsletters are informative. I pass them around to our members. So I know we get flooded with tons of emails every day, but this is something that I've gotten value out of, and our members have gotten value out of. So I'd encourage people to dip their toe in the water and at least start subscribing to the newsletter, and you never know where it'll take you.
Thank you, John. And John, too, is also featured on our website talking about, you know, the experience of hosting that event. And again, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think just pays such dividends, not just, you know, for Microsoft or, you know, even for John's company. But I think it just pays dividends to have elected officials in a room hearing from technology leaders like yourself about what their concerns are, as well as hearing from these elected officials about the challenges that they're having. And I think, you know, Regina was at that event as well, and I thought it was a terrific event, and I'd love to do more of these, big or small, but just, you know, having elected officials meet with technology leaders like yourselves, I think is just so critical.
Yeah, I just want to add in a couple of quick comments there. I agree with everyone else. It's this, Jonathan is, and VFI is, presenting you with an opportunity to really influence our legislators and to help drive, a portion of his agenda there. So think carefully about the types of things that you'd like to leverage VFI and some of the opportunities that your unique organization may want to take advantage of through the VFI organization. Those of you that plan to attend the Inspire Conference, formerly known as World Partner Conference, it is going to be in Washington, D.C. this year. So, Jonathan, I'll just give you an opportunity to mention some of the activities and things that you might have going on coming up soon.
Terrific. Yes. Because it's in Washington, D.C., that gives us a great opportunity with all the partners in town to leverage that. And so we're definitely planning to have some activities where we will have discussions with policy think tank leaders within the D.C. area, members of Congress, members of the new administration. And again, I think it's just important to hear what they're talking about, where they're focusing, as well as to provide feedback about things that are concerning you. Last time WPC was in D.C., we had a roundtable with about 50 Microsoft partners and members of the then Obama administration who were focused on technology policy, cybersecurity, and heard what they were focused on, as well as was able to provide them some feedback as well. Planning to do something like that again. So if you're interested, again, I will work with Regina. John is, again, another person who's very involved with VFI, and we'll certainly want to get the word out if you're interested in participating once we get something established.
Yeah, Jonathan, I'm happy to be a partner. For if people want to reach out to me, they can find me through you or, like you say, LinkedIn, however that works. And if somebody wants a partner perspective on what we've been doing with Voices for Innovation, please don't hesitate to reach out to me.
Thank you. All right, well, I want to be respectful of time, and we're at time. I, again, do appreciate everyone for participating on this call today. And my email's up on the screen, VFI website. Community is free to join, free to participate in. Encourage you to sign up, and I look forward to working with you. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Regina, as well, for helping organize it.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thank you.